Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Okay, so we're in the middle. I guess we're still in the middle, the end maybe, because next week is the end of the series. We're in the middle of this series of the now and the not yet. And the whole idea of this is the fact that we as humans live here in the now on this earth, right? Everyone agree? We're all living here now. But as believers in Christ Jesus, if we have accepted Jesus to be the Lord of our life, we are walking in relationship with him. We are also citizens of heaven, and we're citizens of an eternal place that has not yet come. It's not yet here, right? So there's this tension between living here in the now, but expecting the not yet. And it's in this tension of the limitations of our flesh and the supernatural of the eternity where we're caught a lot of the time, the now and the not yet. And last week, Pastor Jason talked to us about this this situation where a man brought his son to the disciples, and this son was, he was demonized, and this demon would not leave. Like the disciples told it to leave, and it wouldn't leave. And the man said to Jesus, "Can you heal my son? I asked your disciples, and they couldn't make him leave." And Jesus rebuked the demon. The demon left. And the disciples were perplexed. And they asked him, like, "Why couldn't we do that? You've told us to now go. You've told us that we walk in the same authority that you have. You've given us that authority. Why couldn't we do that?" And Jesus said this: "Because some of these demons have such a strong hold that it requires you to be in constant communion, in constant relationship, in constant conversation with our Heavenly Father. And if you don't have the discipline to be in that kind of a relationship with our Father, if you haven't quite reached that place yet where you are setting aside time every single day and you're in constant relationship and constant conversation with Father God, there's going to be some times when those strongholds come up and you're not going to be able to come over them. You have to be in constant conversation with him." That's a hard ask sometimes, isn't it? Because it's only in direct communication with Father God that our limitations can be overcome. Right? Only in direct communication with Father God could Jesus' limitations be overcome. Jesus was human, just like you and I. He came to this earth as human. He was in constant conversation with the Father. And then today we come to this passage, the next group of passage, and we're going to talk about a subject that's a little uncomfortable. It makes us uncomfy when we think about it. We're going to talk about death and grief. Well, that's just a really great way to get our Sunday started. Let's talk about death. Well, we can't have communion. We can't remember the sacrifice that Jesus made without thinking about death. We also can't think about death without acknowledging that there's grief that comes with death. And this sometimes hits us really uncomfortably because we don't know what to say. We don't know what to do when people around us are experiencing this and walking through this. We're like, "Ugh, I don't know. And we're uncomfortable sometimes. And it's uncomfortable because those two things, death and grief, brings us to a place where there is no words. Can't explain it. Can't explain what you feel. There's only feelings when it comes to death and grief. And feelings get uncomfortable because we don't want our feelings to rule over us, but we also don't want to stuff or disregard our feelings. There's this tension, right? There's a tension. And so today's passage is going to give us some guidance on how to deal with the topic of death and grief. And I really want you to hang on with me, okay? There might be some of you in this room where you have never experienced this yet. I say yet, okay? You might not have experienced a season of death and a season of grieving and what that looks like. I can promise you it's gonna come. So hold on. Hold on. Today's message is entitled, Where is the Hope? Because sometimes we think of death and grieving and we're like, this is terrible. This is never gonna end. Where is the hope? I'm about ready to tell you where the hope is, okay? So the next passage that we read in Matthew chapter 17, verses 22 to 23 says this. After they gathered again in Galilee, so they left the place where Jesus and his disciples met the man with his son, the demonized son, and now they've gone back to Galilee. Jesus told them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He will be killed, but on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. And the disciples were filled with grief. That's it. That's the passage. Isn't that great? That's our passage for today. It ends with, the disciples were filled with grief. We know that this is at least the second time that Jesus is having this conversation with them, okay? The first time that Matthew talks to us about it was back in chapter 16. And when the first time that this happens, Peter let his emotions get ahead of him, okay? And he let his emotions lead him. And instead of asking for clarification, Peter actually rebukes Jesus, okay? Peter rebukes Jesus and tells him, like, you're wrong. That's not gonna happen. Wrong-o. Wrong, Jesus. And Jesus does something that I want us to bring to light. Because in Matthew chapter 16, it says, Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. He is not saying that Peter is Satan. What Jesus is doing is he's calling out the author of that lie that Peter is believing. The author of that lie of saying, Jesus is wrong, that can't happen, Jesus can't die. Jesus is saying, Satan, shut up. Stop lying. You're the father of lies and you don't have any room here. Shut up. What actually Jesus is doing is he's modeling the authority we have over the father of lies and over the lies that go through our head. We don't have to listen to them. We don't have to listen to the lies that the enemy says. We can say, shut up. No, you don't get a say. Jesus was not calling Peter Satan. Jesus was speaking to the speaker behind the face. It's a strong conversation. And I'm sure Peter was like, dang, okay. And so this time, Jesus again tells them, listen, I'm gonna bring this up again because it was uncomfortable the first time. Let's bring it up again. I'm gonna die. And this time there's no conversation. this time there's like this recognition of what the disciples are feeling inside. Grief. When we know or we lose someone who is close to us, there's grief. It's real. And there's no words. There's no big conversation here. But in these two verses, there's some clarity on how to handle the certainty of what's happening. There's some clarity. The first clarity is this, that we all have to grasp, and that is this: death is certain. Death is coming to each and every one of us in this room. I'm gonna die. You are going to die. All of us in this room are going to face death at some time. Hebrews 9:27 says this, "And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment." I'm going to come back to that part, okay? "It is appointed." That means it's set in stone that man is going to die at one point. In Psalms 139, verse 16, it says this, "You saw me before I was born. And every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." The psalmist is recognizing that before I even took a singular breath on this earth, you already knew, because you are omniscient. You know the beginning to the end. You already knew what day I would be born and what day I would die. Our human length has a limit. That limit and that length is going to be different for each and every one of us in this room. But unless Jesus returns, unless Jesus comes back, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, unless he comes back before we get to that limit, all of us are going to die. Okay? Because sin entered the world in Genesis 1, and sin has a cost, and the cost is death. We are not going to live forever in this current body. Death is certain. Okay? But the next point is this: death brings grief. Death brings grief. This is where it gets a little uncomfortable for us, I think. In their first conversation about this, Peter showed two stages of grief. There's seven stages of grief. I'm not going to go over all of them with you, but Peter really did show the first two stages of grief: denial and anger. In Matthew 16, it says this, "And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him," anger. "Don't say that. Stop it. Don't talk to me like that. That makes me mad. You don't get to say those things." That's what Peter was doing. He was rebuking Jesus. And then denial. "Far be it from you, Lord. This will never happen. You are wrong. No, no, no. This is not going to happen to you." Denial, right? But by the time this second conversation rolls around in chapter 17, it appears that the disciples have kind of come to the final stage, which is acceptance. And I'm going to read our passage again right now in Matthew 17, 22 to 23. "After they gathered again in Galilee, Jesus told them, 'The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of enemies. He'll be killed, but on the third day, he'll raise from the dead.' and the disciples were filled with grief. It appears that now the disciples have this understanding that this is going to happen. And they are sad. And they just have to sit there in their sadness for a minute. That doesn't feel very good, right? But there's this standard that Jesus is modeling for us, okay? And the reason that I can see that it's this, like what he's modeling is because he didn't just bring it up once and have a conversation and then leave it, is that he's brought it up now again. He brings it up because he gives his friends an opportunity to talk. He doesn't lead the conversation. He doesn't say things that are meaningless just to fill space. He brings it up and he allows room to just feel it and work through it. This topic of death and grieving is one that is very close to the heart of a friend of mine. She's on the leadership team of Hope City. And when she found out that I was preaching on this week, like God prompted her. And she wrote out this beautiful thing. And I asked I'm not going to tell you who it is. But she wrote this out and I asked if I could share it. This is a person who knows death and grieving well. She's experienced death like few of us in this room will ever experience. And I want you to listen to her words. In the depths of my grief, I often struggled to feel anything but emptiness. Yet looking back, scripture gives voice to what my heart eventually acknowledged, that the Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Even when faith trembles and tears blur my eyes, he is closer than I can comprehend. God comforted me in ways only someone who had walked through agony could. I want you just to catch that for a minute. God comforted me in ways that only someone who had walked through agony could. God watched his only son be crushed, bruised, killed, and could do nothing for us, for me. My grief became a channel, not just a wound, with the purpose of comforting others by the same grace that pulled me through. At times, loss felt like destruction, but I would read the Bible. In Romans, it says that in all things, God works together for good for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. He can take the rubble of what seemed like shattered dreams and reshape it into something new. He didn't promise immunity. Still, he did promise protection. Pain remained. Fear followed. Yet there were seasons of inexplicable safety. Whether it was a life or death moment that passed unanswered, or an emotional wound that never destroyed my spirit, he was there with a hedge where I had none. Listen, this is the turning point. Without grief, I never would have asked the hard questions, leaned into prayer, wrestled with his timing, or recognized the power when he answered. Every tear cultivated dependence, which nurtured trust. This journey wasn't what I would choose, but it became the unlikely route to a deeper, more certain relationship with him. I don't know much, but I do know that it would have been helpful if people had talked about it more instead of avoiding it. Did you hear that? It would have been helpful if people would have talked about it more instead of avoiding it. Because us humans, when we know someone is suffering, when someone is walking through something, it's uncomfortable. We don't really know what to say. We know that they're hurting. We know that they're struggling. And so we're like, it's like this. How you doing?
Good.
Okay. And just walk away, right? That's not what Jesus did. He brought it up, and then he sat there with them. It looks like this. Can I sit here for a minute? Hi, Toshka.
Hi.
I'm just here. I don't have the words, but I'm here. I'm just gonna sit with you. I had no idea that you were gonna be here today, but God knew what you needed. And you have a whole family that's sitting here with you. He's holding you up. Even when you don't know it, we're just holding you up. That's what it looks like, guys. He doesn't have to talk to me. It's just being present, being available, being a body. That's all that grief needs. Grief just needs to know someone's here. Someone cares. Sometimes we avoid talking to each other when we know that someone's going through a hard time because I don't know what to say. You don't have to say anything. Just be there. Hold their hand. It's because the idea or the uncertainty around the concept of death can sometimes make us uncomfortable. But we, as followers of Christ Jesus, don't have to fear death. Do you hear me? We don't have to fear death because we have hope. We have hope. Exclamation point. We have hope. Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica and he said this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know that what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. He didn't say so you wouldn't grieve. He didn't say so you wouldn't grieve. Let the process happen. But you won't grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. First, the believers who have died will raise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. Listen, we are reading stuff that is beyond my comprehension. I cannot even put into my mind what this actually looks like, but here's what I do know. Every word in this book is true. Every word in this book is true. Whether I have a hard time understanding it or not, every word in this book is true. So if I'm going to take what Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica, then this is what I'm going to, this is what I believe. That if I have invited Jesus to be the Lord of my life, and you have invited Jesus to be the Lord of your life, we have repented from our sins, and we've accepted his forgiveness for those sins. And we are daily walking out our salvation. Then we have an eternal hope. It's called the blessed hope. It's what Paul just wrote about right there. If we die before Christ returns, then our spirits will leave our bodies and we will be united with Jesus. But our earthly bodies will be left behind to decay and to be disposed of, however that is deemed proper. But on the day of his return, which we don't know when that is, that's why he calls us to be living in a place that is ever ready. Because we don't know when that day is. The day of his return, those decaying bodies of those who have died while in relationship with Jesus are raised up before everyone else. Guys, do you know what that means? Like, this is what it means. Here comes Jesus with a shout from the head angels, a trumpet of no trumpet we've ever heard. Right? Here he comes. And like, if I'm still alive, like I'm sitting there like, take me. Yes, yes, yes. He's like, uh-uh. Nope. You wait your turn, girl. All right. All of you that are dead bodies, let's go. That means my mom is raising up. My auntie is raising up. My brothers are raising up. That all of those that I have lost that have been dead and buried are raising up. And I get to watch them reunite right there. And then he'll be like, okay, now come. Now it's your turn. Right? It's this reunion of body and spirit that I honestly don't understand. I can't comprehend. But it's happening. And here's where the next uncomfy part comes. We're going to be super honest here. Because we can't live and believe in heaven and believe in eternity in heaven and the resurrection of the body and deny the eternity of hell. Can't have one without the other. And the truth of it is, we are going to live in eternity in one of two places. Going back to the verse that I mentioned earlier in Hebrews 9:27, it says, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, after that comes judgment. This tells me that there's a judgment that follows death. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, it says this, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. Then another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them according to what they had done. Then death and Hades, those are demons, by the way, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. I can't talk about death and hope of heaven without also talking about the reality of hell. And before I go any farther, after first service, Preston came up to me and he's like, hey, listen, God gave me this word. And I said, are you sticking around for second service? He said, I think I am. Preston, in 1 minute, can you come and share that word really quick?
Myself. Father God, give me the words to speak through your spirit, not of myself, for you hold me to a higher standard if I preach your word to the people. The Lord gave me a word in regards to living out your righteousness as Christ has called us to. And it comes down to the point of being far away from God in your heart, but close to him with your lips. Do you really live what you preach? Do you live your life daily in such a way that honors Christ, or do you honor your own flesh? Do you honor what you want to do with your own life, or do you honor what Christ has called you to do? Do you take heed to his instruction, or do you push it away? Do you live your life in such a way that honors your neighbors and honors God, or do you honor your flesh and what you think is going to make you happy? But that leads to death. That doesn't lead to the life that God has called us to live. That leads to your own damnation. And that's the hardest word for the church, is understanding there's people who sit in our churches and in our congregations that have no real revelation of the love of God. So they use it as a license for sin. They use it as a license for becoming an abomination to what everything God has called us to be otherwise.
Reach your hands out towards Preston right now. Reach your hands out to him right now. Right now, as Preston has obediently released the word that God put on his heart, right now we come against any backlash that would try to silence him, that would try to bind him, that would try to even like distract him. In Jesus' name, we just brush that off. And God, I just pray your just your protecting spirit over him, over his mind and over his heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't take that lightly. Don't take that lightly. At the end of time, which will be the beginning of eternity, there's going to be a moment when all creation will hold their breath. What's he going to say? What's he going to say? Is he going to mention this? Is my name there? That book of life is going to be opened. And anyone who did not surrender to the lordship of Christ, will be eternally cast into the lake of hell. Surrendering to the lordship of Christ means every part of us, everything. And holding on, like what God said through Preston, holding on to those things that we think are going to make us happy, that we think we need, it doesn't indicate full surrender. I'm just going to invite everyone to close their eyes right now. If you're in this room and you recognize, like, I have not fully surrendered to the lordship of Christ. And when Pastor Paula mentioned that book of life, I was like, woof, hope my name's in that. If that thought crossed your mind, I hope my name is in there. Then I'm just gonna say, you probably haven't fully surrendered. You probably haven't fully surrendered. If that was a thought in your head, I hope my name's in there. That's an indication of not fully surrendering. And if you're here today and you want to say, I fully surrender to the Lordship of Christ, will you just raise your hand right now? One. Come on. Two. Three. Let's all say this together. Jesus, I fully surrender to your Lordship. You are leading me. Let die what you say die. I repent for the things that I have done, and I receive your forgiveness. In Jesus' name. I'm just going to invite everyone to stand right now. I just want to pray over you before we leave. If you're in this room and you're walking through a season of grief, he is so close to the brokenhearted. He's so close to you. You're not alone. And I want to pray over you. Jesus, as we leave this place today, will you be the comforter that is needed?
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.